someone to listen to this. Okay. Why not? We have the facility, let's use it. So I'm just going back into summarizing a little bit from the Leif Tov and just pick up a few of the ideas here. We're in the middle of a deep, complex conversation taking place here between the Seichel and the Nefesh. And the only way to really do justice is to start again, because you have to get the dialogue clear, exactly what the dialogue is. And it's not posh at all. We picked up a lot of different traders and whatever for sure, but the actual flow of the dialogue and the give and take takes, I assume, more than just one reading. So let's just pick up a few points and then let's see where he's headed. Let's just, as we agreed right in the beginning, let's just run with the ball here and see what goes on. So he gave a summary here. Mataras Bria Sa Adam Hu. What was the purpose of creating man? To give the neshama dafka, a to test the neshama in this world. Will it choose to be oved Hashem or lo? You take a neshama that up there is kulu oved Hashem because it sees the truth so clearly, and you bring him down here where it's not so poshut, and there's forces that pull one way and another. And there's a bechira, there's a yetzatov, and a yetzor, and the whole ganze marechet, yeah, and you're being tested to see whether the neshama will serve Hashem or not, to lezake koto, and to purify it, and then they kabbalas all hatoyiv amitzvus by being mekabel all toyiv amitzvus that purifies the neshama. They should tiskal yedei kach ledarga hachi elyoni ba'olam haruchani alun, in order that it can attain the highest possible level in the higher world, in the ruchnistic world. That's why Hashem created the whole world. The whole living universe that we have, the bordering on infinite physical universe that we have, was all created for this purpose. And the whole world, the running of it, how we conduct it, it's given over to Adam. Now you remember, running in the background here was the question of whether you have Bechira, you don't have Bechira. Where you have Bechira, we don't have Bechira. So we were warned quite sharply not to get involved in the sugya here. You become a Bechiris and you become a Golgan. So you remember, we still haven't fathomed out what was that about, but he's going to touch on it a little bit now. We'll see where there's Bechira. There isn't Bechira, but he warned us not to go there. So we'll go there where he goes there, but I'm not going to go there stump. Anyway, that's the purpose of the Bria. That's what he says. That's the whole reason for the Bria. And then he went on an whole arichas explaining the different parts of the Bria, how it was put together, and the four rulers. There was the moach, the lev, the kovet, and the vore hamin. You have a moach, you have a brain, you have a heart, you have a liver, and then you have the reproductive organs. That's what you're made up of. And he put over there four kidim, four sort of ministers: Hakoyach Hamachzik, Hakoyach Hamichael, Hakoyach Hadoiche, Haitzorim Esamora veShachoyre beBatchol. The gallbladder and all sorts of stuff that in order to maintain this system that he created, this goof that the neshama is going to come down here and live in. And then he spoke about the vodim that are in here, all the different parts of the whole arichas, about the goof and how it's put together. Now everything has different purposes. So maybe let's go from here, from Reish Tzadik. There seems to be a bit of a break here. Let's go from here. We actually got to Reish Tzadik Aleph. Maybe let's just start from here. Again, I'm not, can't say that I'm on familiar territory here. Reish Tzadik in the middle there. V'tziva boiris baruch l'sho'arim, l'pakidim, l'avodim, l'yoatzim, l'mesholsim, u'l'shamashim. All these different parts that he spoke about at length before, these different things that he put into these different categories, they are given over in order to do their job for a specific period of time, until a person dies. And And their job is to do exactly what they were commanded to do. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed this thing called Adam, these things were placed into the Adam, and they have their job to do for a certain period of time. The milu tafkidim elu, ema peulu she'adam oisem mitoich hachreach. Very important, you saw this. The things we do out of, you blink. No, you blink, hechrach, it happens. You have to have bechira for you. Bechira, do you blink? Don't you blink? Breathing even. The things that happen by hechrach, they take their due course without you interfering with them too much. But these things all function in the world where there's a gzeiros habayra, and not because of bechira. Again, we're back to that question that I mentioned earlier that we spoke about at length. This problem of bechira. Let me just see if I can do that light. It's kind of bouncing back. I hope it's not disturbing you too much. I suppose you can always switch off the camera if it's bugging you. I've got a light behind my head here. Let's just see that it's reflecting back. Okay. So those are the things that take place behechrach, meaning that that's what Hashem does. There's no bechir involved in that. Hashem gives you permission to use all these different koiches that you have in specific ways and according to certain conditions. In order to maintain your physical dimension, your body, and to do the actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you control over to do in this world, what are these pu'ulas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, us, to do in this world, the control of in this world? There's two categories of mitzvahs here. There's the mitzvahs, the muskolos, those things that your seichel behaves you to do. And then the mitzvahs that the seichel doesn't behave you to do. Shatness, there's no seichel, there's going to behave you boss of a cholov, there's no seichel there. And then the things that are seicheldik, don't steal, whatever, and maybe things that all that every 6 year old guy has to know about. I don't know about today, wouldn't they? But a human being, that's the thing that a person has to do. You have to know that it's partial. You don't steal, you know. Then he gave you the things that are mutter to do. And there's things that are mutter. Not mitzvah, they're just things that you're allowed to do. A lot of things we do that aren't necessarily mitzvah, they're just, you're allowed to do them. You can turn those things into mitzvahs by the kavana you have, but generally speaking, a person goes for a walk, you can make that a mitzvah, for sure, but without kavana you can, but those are things that are mutter. It's not a mitzvah to go for a walk. Sometimes the doctor tells you to go for a walk, it's a mitzvah. Well, sometimes you feel like going for a walk, you feel like breathing a bit of fresh air, you feel like whatever, you feel like standing outside and looking at the birds. So no, it's not a mitzvah, it's mutter. Okay. All these things that have been handed over into your control, your hands, and you've been given shlita, control over them in this world. Don't make the mistake, he says, of thinking that these are things that you need for your existence. And for your shleimus and for your benefit. They won't add to you, they won't take away from you anything. You won't get any hano from them, you won't get any tsar for them. These are things that relate to your body. That come upon you either internally or externally. None of these things are in and of themselves imperative. The afterbirth, the placenta, whatever you want to call it, in relation to the vlad, in relation to the fetus. The fetus doesn't need a vlad. The vlad needs to be there. I'm not sure exactly what he means. The klippas habeitzer, the shilia, is a necessary part of the vlad and of the beitzer. I'm not sure what he means that it's the law. So he explains here, because you understand the problem. He's telling me these things, you don't need them, and they're not helping you, they're not hurting you, and they're just things that are related to your body, whether it's internal or external, and they don't, without themselves, there's no need for them. What are you talking about? Have you ever heard of a baby being born without a placenta? You ever heard of a chicken coming into an egg and there's no egg? I'm saying, so, what are you talking about? What do you mean they're not a need? For sure, they're very important parts of what you're talking about, the functionality of these things. So it says in the Pisach HaLev, well, for sure, the shell of the egg is needed by the little chicken to protect it and guard it until it finishes forming itself fully, for sure. Not talking about that, because they say no klal chelik me'afrach, was not part of the chicken. Chickens, when the egg fresh off, the chicken gets up and he leaves the egg. It's not part of. It's not an intrinsic part of the chicken. It's external. The egg itself doesn't influence directly the growth of the chicken. It's just a shield to protect it. That doesn't affect the makeup of the chicken at all. It's a temporary shield that the chicken needs in order to grow, but it has no intrinsic effect on the chicken at all. This whole world is like an eggshell. To the neshama, like an eggshell is to the little chicken. Ain't them chelik min neshama. They're not part of your neshama. The group's not part of your neshama. You have a neshama, like you have a little chicken, and then you have the eggshell. It's necessary. You have to have the eggshell. You're not saying you don't need the eggshell. For sure, you need the eggshell. Otherwise, where's the chicken going to grow, and how's he going to be guarded and protected? You need a goof. Otherwise, the neshama can't function down here. But the goof isn't an intrinsic part of the neshama. It's a separate issue. That's a hard one, by the way. You want to process that? You want to spend a couple of weeks meditating on this idea we've just learned now? That's a difficult one, eh? We're very, very connected and in touch and relate to our goof as part of us. You try and disentangle yourself from your goof and just see your goof as an external feature. Like a horse, you have a horse, and, you know, you ride your horse, you like your horse, you feed it, you take care of it, but anybody makes a mistake and thinks that he's the horse. And when it comes to our goof, we very, very invested in our goof as us. You try and disentangle from there, Zelopo should be chlal. That's a rough avoider. The goof doesn't provide you with any shlemus. It doesn't affect your emotions. They're tools that the neshama needs to use temporarily. Like you ride a horse, you use the horse temporarily. You don't become one with the horse. So that's not the goal. You finish riding, you put the horse away. You're using the horse to get further to get somewhere where you couldn't get without it. It's a means of transport, so it can come down here. These things enable the neshama to purify itself and to do what it came here to do in order to go to a higher place, the next world. But we didn't come here to be a goof. We came here to be a neshama, and just a neshama can't function in this world without a goof. So you have to have a goof. The same as the fetus needs a placenta, but once the fetus is born, the placenta gets, you don't need it, you bury it, you throw it away. You know, there's not part of the fetus. The baby doesn't need a placenta. The placenta is there to do a job temporarily in order to keep to feed and nurture and provide the fetus while it's in its mother's tummy what it needs. But the minute the child's born, doesn't need it. Doesn't, the placenta goes away. It's not a part of the baby. So that's this piece of a very hot of a piece of Pisachalev to remember. Ve'im tavini v'taskili, if you'll understand, and you'll internalize it, you'll get it into your seichel. La'ezer kavana havaiti otcha lo'ilam hazeh. What was the purpose? What was the aim of bringing you into this world? And the unbelievable goodness that I did for you. Who's just talking? This is a seichel talking to the goof. Who's talking? This is the seichel talking. Okay, not exactly sure that fits in. Sounds more like Hashem's talking, but the ma'abiduk. But if chori la'oved oti, v'timoni melahamret oti banhogas kol mashe hishtalti oitcho olav, azale otcha elamay lagadoy lebeyoyse shel b'chiri v'ahuvay. Sounds like Hashem's talking here. V'akar otcha al midas harachamim sheli, v'al bish otcha al ziv kfoidi. This is Hashem talking. I'll give you all these things. I'll bring you close to my midas of rachamim, and I'll clothe you in the radiance of my covert, whatever that means. But if you would prefer to rebel against me, then I'm gonna give you a terrible punishment. And I will torture you with lengthy tortures. That's chavoinish. ואם לא תדעי הסדר כי השימוש של אחד הדברים שהטלתי עליך לאויבד אותי בהם, מחמס תידוי סך בגופך ובניונים הכרוכים בו. And if you, ואם לא תדעי הסדר כי השימוש של אחד הדברים, if you won't acknowledge maybe means the way or to utilize this, one of these things, these faculties that I gave you, that I, you won't utilize them for what I gave them to you for, which is the oivirati, to serve me, because you're so busy with your goof, and in all the things that relate to your goof, you're in the gym 17 hours a day, taking care of your goof, I'm so busy with your goof, that's when I'll test you, to see whether you're want to serve me or not. Dad, you know what's right and wrong. How are you going to get through this world? This is a dangerous place with lots of tuggings and pullings in a yetzer or whatever. So who's going to help you to make the right decisions here? He said, I've given you a very good assistant. Chochem, v'neman, a very faithful, wise servant, if you'll ask for advice from this trustworthy, faithful, very, very wise servant, when you ask for yourself, and he'll arouse you when you forget about your obligations, that's your seichel. And that is there for your use. We're so rochok from being in touch with our seichel. I mean, I can ask my seichel and I'll get an opinion, and that's a trustworthy, faithful, wise opinion. It'll get to my seichel. Yeah, for sure. So how do I get in touch with my seichel? No, this is wonderful. I'm walking around. I don't have to pick up the phone and ask who could or if what I could do. I have a seichel. Person has a seichel. And he's a very, very wise, trustworthy advisor. You have a problem, you call him and you say, okay, so what do you think? How do we deal with this situation? Do we do this? Don't we do this? That's what he's telling you here. Take his counsel in all your matters. Because he'll command you. He'll tell you exactly how to use all the different means that have been placed into your domain, into your possession, in order to serve Hashem. You'll take those midas mugunois that we spoke about right in the beginning, and you'll turn them into praiseworthy midas. The same way as a wise doctor, what does he do? I know what he means. כמו שאויס הרייף החוכם, המשתמש לתועלת הגוף, for the benefit of the goof, he utilizes betrufot shedarken lahazik. He uses medicine that can damage you. Gone besame amavis for some imacherim. I don't know why the doctor Chochem would use some imamavis in order to heal a patient.
Like chemotherapy, something like that. That's what I think he
said.
Ah,
you get things that are mamish normally mazik the goof, but you can use those to miraculously.
Right. Or more, he's saying you have probably bad things that your intellect will teach you how to use for the good. Just like you give something medicine to the body that's poisonous, but it helps
it. This says you'll take gaiva and you'll use gaiva properly. There's a positive aspect
yes,
to all the medicine.
That's what I understand.
That. So things like gaiva, you have to marachik, it's dangerous, but there's a place to use it properly. You can use it to heal. Okay, excellent. Very good. If you will conduct yourself like this, you'll approach the seichel. You'll put the seichel to rule over your life, instead of using the goof and the emotions and the dimyonos and everything to rule your life. You'll put the seichel in the place, and you'll listen to his advice. We're back to the things that are mutter, but they're not a mitzvah, they're not a veira. That's a mouthful. In all your good deeds that you do, we're just talking about they're not good deeds, they're not mitzvah, they're not aveira. Second, yichtov seifa hamaisim hatoivim is called to not say hamutoris. If you listen to your seifa, who's going to write the seifa? Yichtov seifa hamaisim hatoivim is called to not say hamutoris. All these actions that you're doing that are muta, would you have to decide? Am I gonna utilize this goof in order to do things that are mutu, but they're not a mitzvah, they're not a veira? Then they'll all come together. All these different things will come together in order to under your rulership, to help you to serve me, Hashem says. So again, I need the Pischa Levia. אם האדם בו לידי הקורא, שתכליס בו לעולם הזה הוא כדי לעבוד את השם. If a person will come to the Akora, and he'll recognize, what's he living for? Why is he here? Is he עבוד את השם? He'll come to that Akora, ומחוון את כל מחשבוי סב ותפנוי סב למטר הזה. Then you'll take all your koichas, all your thoughts, like the Masidu Shorim says, and you'll focus all your attention, all your energy into that goal. The goal of being עבוד את השם. ואז גם עושן הפעולו שאין להם מצווה עובר מפורשת, then all those things that you do that are not מצווה עוברת, כגון אכילה ושתייה ותעסקים בפנוסה ושעצייך הגוף, all the things that you do, you take care of your goof. גם הם נחשובס למעשים טובים, they also become מעשים טובים, they also become considered positive actions that you did. Not just, so it's not good or it's not bad. They become ma'asim tovim, but that requires that you're being oivid Hashem. You understand that you have to be oivid Hashem. So when you're eating, why are you eating? Because that's what an oivid Hashem does. Otherwise, how's he going to be oivid if he doesn't have food? He needs energy. He needs to eat. He needs to go for a walk. So that he's got yeshuva das and menuchas hanefesh so that he can be oivid Hashem. Everything a person's using now, this is a high ideal, but there's ways to get in touch with this a little bit on our level as well. All these means you're using for your goal, to avoid a Hashem. Your goal is avoid a Hashem. That's your business. That's what you want to do. You want to be a professor of avoid a Hashem. That's what you're doing. When you make that decision, then even the mutter things, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're drinking, all the mundane things that everybody does. A guy also puts on shoes. And he only puts on one shoe at a time because you can't put on both shoes. Then that's not a mitzvah, not a veira. Hashem makes it a mitzvah. You put in your right shoe first and your left shoe second. It becomes a mitzvah because you're not even Hashem. Someone's not even Hashem. He's also putting on shoes. He's spending just as much time and energy as you putting on shoes. I don't get olam haba. He doesn't get olam haba. I put on shoes in the morning. I get olam haba. Why? Because I decided to be an Eved Hashem. So everything I do now in the mutaris dvarim also becomes part of that avodas Hashem. Nifla. Niflo. V'chein lehefach, mi shematzik la'ol matara le'doifach rei tanuga ve'ev la'oil ha'mazeh, le'echaz b'shuras li'boi. The opposite. Somebody decides, no, this world's a great place to have a good time and to enjoy myself. And, you know, it's a shame I don't have to worry about that. I'm here to have a good time. Look, it's such a beautiful world. My special wants me to enjoy it. And get involved in all the narishkat out there. And now he's rebelling against the desire of Hashem. Then his mutoristic things become a virus. The same as an Oyvid Hashem, all the let's say the par of things, they become mitzvah. So too, someone who's not doing the Rotzen Hashem, all the mutorist things becomes a vera. Why does it work? It's very simple. If you're using the world in order to arrive at your goal, then whatever your goal is going to determine whether the things are good or bad. If you utilize this world in order to be Oved Hashem, then everything you do is a mitzvah because you're Oved Hashem with everything you have. That doesn't mean you're Oved Hashem 100%, you're always Oved Hashem. We're talking about people that are apprentices of Oved Hashem. We're talking, okay, it's ideal, you can say what you want, and I'm saying even on our level, we're Oved Hashem. And you're Eved Hashem 24/7? No, because I have the HR and I do have errors and I make mistakes. And we're talking about, did you sign up for the journey? For sure, we signed up for the journey. So it means even you're eating and you're drinking and you're sleeping or whatever, that's all part of the positive environment that you're trying to develop. Yeah, your goal. It's aimed towards your goal. And it's exactly the same with somebody whose goal is negative. Everything he's doing is aimed towards his goal, which is negative. So everything he's doing is negative. Portrait. We're a bit of a hybrid. We probably have bits of both, you know, because sometimes we're over the shape, sometimes we're more into the heaven of the world. If I understand it, that's all part of that's wired into the systems. They are called to. I have to be real who I am, and that's how I live. But essentially, I signed up to be an Oved Hashem. And Hashem knows I'm not perfect, and Hashem knows I'm an apprentice. So he'll deal with all the broken pieces in the meantime while I'm just fixing up the things that I have to fix up. But all that means every time I eat, I have a taiva, and I want. So it could be that eating, the lo la matara. So that eating is not part of olam haba. It's a very high level that every time you eat, you're eating the shem shemaim. Shai yichud ha'maisa. Everything you do is miyachet to oivir Hashem. We have a thing that says lo ilam amol adam shelo lishmo shemitah shelo lishmo bo lishmo. We're very far from, you know, everything I'm doing is only Hashem Shemayim. When I eat, it's only Hashem Shemayim. Who eats to learn Hashem Shemayim? How often do I eat Hashem Shemayim? I eat because I'm hungry, because sometimes I don't eat when I'm not even hungry. I just eat because it's a gift to eat or because it's a stress release. You're in the arena of being an Oved Hashem. So all those things at some level are part of your Avodas Hashem.
They're
not, because at the
a person trains himself to say that every time I'm eating to maintain my strength to serve you, then it starts being part of him.
Autosuggestion. That's what the world, that's what the psychologist calls autosuggestion. You talk yourself to where you want to go, for sure. But in the meantime, you're not there yet. Hashem says, that's fine. I'm asking you to slowly develop a process. Yeah, for sure. For sure. When you go to the bank, why am I going to the bank? Because I have to deal with inyonim that I'm to maintain a family. When I go to work in the morning, a guy can spend 18 hours at work in the morning. He's kulo avod Hashem, and he's sitting next to the other goy, to the goy or the other yid there, whatever, and he's kulo avod in hevel avolim. And they're doing the same job. They're pushing the same keys of the computer, doing the same trading, whatever. And the one guy's mamash isik, he's in the kodesh kadoshim, and the other guy's mamash in who knows where he's going to land up. Because why are you here? Well, I have to keep my family and I have to support them. But then, you know, you have to pay for food and you have to buy tefillin and you have to, you know, it's all avoid a session, for sure. Well, Paul once said, you have two people in the bank, they're both signing a check. One's mamash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Yichud Ruvon Hashem. And the other guy just, you know, he's signing a check. So, you know, look, what are you doing? Yes. And of course, that all gets written down. Okay. Tov, let's, good. I'm glad we got back into swing here.
Appreciate it.
Again, it's very fragmented. We haven't really got a mahalach here. We haven't really got a thread yet, but we'll see. Maybe we'll go through it again one day. Well, we're nearly finished. We haven't got long to go.
But it was good to do the recap from that part.
This is some very important stuff. You know, I'd like to go back to the beginning of the dialogue with the seichel and the nefesh and start again the dialogue, but to run it through, not as truncated as we're doing it, just to see what the dialogue is. There's a dialogue taking place here, and we've just got little bits of pieces. I haven't seen the connection of the whole story yet. Especially when he started talking about this Bechira story or whatever, he took me mamash off the, I don't see how that fits in here. But anyway, Baruch Hashem. The main thing is that we get. I'm sorry about last night, specifically you, Eli. I told Jonathan, and I was on my way to phone you, and I just didn't phone you. I was horrified this morning when I was driving in. I suddenly realized, hey, you're halfway.
No problem.
Yeah. You're doing a Cheshbon HaNefesh at the morning with Rabbi Grossness. He started.
Well, we got the Svarim. We did it today. We haven't done it for a few days.
When does he do it? Before Shia? He does it just before the Gemara Shia, like 10, 15 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Like he's Ada, like the Chasam Sofer. He's a descendant of the Chasam Sofer. His father also used to in Shia. We had a Gemara Shia. We did. That's where I got involved in Chobos Levavos. Was from that Shia, 15 minutes in the Shia. We learned Shara B'tochen. The Chasam Sofer learned. Before he gave Gemara Shia, he learned 15 minutes Chobos Levavos. That's where they got it from.
Great.
So, we have half an hour because there's a lot of interruptions, so we can't do it in 15 minutes. We have to go 9:30 to 10. So one day, hopefully, we'll be able to do it in 15 minutes as well. But Seder, take good care, Aboisa. B'tzudas Tovas.
Mate, you too. Just be safe, guys.
Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. The main thing is to stay safe in your head.
Yeah, mentally.
What
exactly.
Is the body that's out of my
psychological warfare here?
Psychological. You have to get on with your life. You got to get up in the morning. You got to eat the way you eat. Rest, daven. Corona. I told Rabbi Sipper today. So I don't want to keep anybody. If you want to go, I'm not. I just mentioned Rabbi Sipper. I said the chesed of the corona, is that it prepared us for this. Without corona, this would have been 1,000 times harder. Being at home with the kids, and you're stuck at home with the kids. What are you going to do? There's a local kach. You've done it before. We know how to do it. Baruch Hashem, this is much easier than corona because we can all be together. The grandparents can babysit. There's a lot of, but the corona was terrible. You couldn't even get the grandparents to babysit. No one would want to be, who wants to be with your kids? This is a little bit more of the chesed, just to say thank you for the, I'm not saying thank you for the corona. I just saw the chesed of the corona. Prepared us and gave us the kelim to deal with a lot of what we're dealing with today. You know, so there's no food in the makolet. So there, whatever. You know. Yeah, so you go into the makolet and there aren't six different flavors of yogurt. There's only one. Besides, you eat one yogurt. You know, I'm saying it's about getting back to normal a bit. I'm just saying. I realized the chesed Hashem prepares us for things before we don't even realize. You know, you thought the corona was a punishment. Who says? Maybe it's. He wants Kalim to deal with this. He's sorry. Anyway, whatever. That was just a thought. Sipper liked it. So I thought, okay, he's a scummer.
Very nice. Sipper. Very nice. That's okay. Funny. I think you said, or someone said something like that similar the other day. I was thinking of it. I was thinking, you know, the whole world had to go through it. So the Jews in Israel could be ready for these bloody terrorists. Amazing. Thanks for sharing.
They also Hashem. They also come about.
Yeah, of course. Of course they're all Hashem. It's all Hashem.
Don't forget Yishmael. Yishmael has Hashem's name in his name, okay? There's only two others we ever go through that comes. He comes with Hashem's name and he comes with a koyach of a broch he got from Avram Avinu. This is not a simple battle. This is not a simple golus. It says, Chaim Vital says, they also it'll be the worst golus we've ever had. Not because it'll be more brutal or violent necessarily, but because it's an impossible situation. He put in a possible situation. You can't. How do you be? You can't win. You bomb this guy to smithereens. What left of Gaza? You know, the booming. What's going on in Gaza the whole day, the whole night? I'm telling you, it's nonstop. 300, 400 massive missiles, buildings flying. I mean, there's what's left. And they can still send out 60, 70, 100, 500 rockets a day. Bleep, bleep, for goodness sake. They drop an atom bomb on them and they'll still send rockets. I said, they're not to face. Russia had bombed the Ukraine the way Israel's bombing Gaza. There'd be nothing left of the Ukraine. Nothing. It's over. And these guys just keep coming back and they keep coming back. And it's not the first time we bombed them either. I mean, this is more than we've ever seen. This is vicious. And we've never seen anything like this. This is off the charts. And they keep coming back. That's Yishmael. He's there to make you realize, Shem, without Hashem, you got nothing. You know, and Malasot. And Malasot. Tefillah is the most powerful tool we have against Yishmael. Yishmael, the whole mission of Yishmael is to get the tefillah functioning properly. Anyway. Thank you. We have good news.
Oh, man. Please go soon.